listening nightly to our favorite show, radio. Oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again, radio. I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's fun and frivolity with Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts and special guest star Lenny Bruce. But first, crime, adventure, and justice with Gangbusters. This best remembered of all police programs came about in the summer of 1935 when Phillips H. Lord talked NBC into developing a pilot series about the government's war against crime. Lord sold the idea to Chevrolet, then flew to Washington, D.C. to gather the official blessing of J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI. Hoover agreed to allow Lord to use FBI files on closed cases, provided the Bureau could review the scripts, and the new series was off and running. The clues element became one of the most successful aspects of the show. After each program, nationwide alarms were broadcast for actual criminals wanted by police or FBI agents. Fine details of the criminals' appearance helped capture some 110 wanted men in the first 3 years of the run. The program continued on Mutual through 1955 through 1957. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Gangbusters and The Collector Who Robbed Supermarkets. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Gangbusters!
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case history. Gangbusters.
Tonight, Gangbusters presents the case of the collector who robbed Midwestern supermarkets of thousands of dollars. Until a case of cigarettes put him out of business.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable Leonard L. Murphy, Chief of Detectives of the St. Louis, Missouri Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Chief Murphy, you've told me that it's surprising how many criminals actually have very clever ideas.
Yes, Don Gardner, but in these instances, being clever doesn't mean being smart. If they were smart, they never would have used their talents in the direction they did. Invariably, these clever boys know they have a quick mind, but they overestimate their shrewdness in a quest for lots of money with no work.
Well, your case for tonight took place in the city of St. Louis, Chief Murphy?
Yes, that's right, Don. And one night, not long ago, a young man and a girl were seated in the last row of a mammoth movie theater on Grand Avenue. The last showing of the picture just ended, and the audience was filing out to the strains of the giant Wurlitzer organ.
Oh, what a picture.
If you want to see it over again, you got to come back tomorrow.
Okay, a girl can dream, can't she?
Sure, or someplace else. Come on.
Oh, honest, Rich, you got about as much romance as a turtle. It was a wonderful picture.
Pardon us, please. Pardon, please.
The way he came back to her at the end and then just held her. Oh, gosh, what a picture.
Yeah, great stuff.
Rich.
What?
Where are we going?
Home. Where do you think?
I'm hungry.
I'll buy you a candy bar. Now, stick here a minute. I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
Just stick here. I'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Rich.
Hey, Rich. How
long can I hide behind a flower pot?
I got interest in the picture.
Come on, let's get this over with.
Make it quick and to the point.
Don't worry, I like them that way.
So you don't get your hair mussed up?
That's one reason.
Well, I believe in advertising. There it is. Treasurer's office.
Okay, I'm set.
Knock.
Right.
Come in.
The guy out front said to see you. We've got a little...
Get him up. Hey.
Don't move. You've got a crack on the head.
Or worse, maybe.
Sit still, bud.
Well, here it is. All wrapped up pretty for the bank.
Grab it and let's go.
What about Junior here?
He must get awful sleepy working nights. Here, bud, sleep good. Let's go. I got a date waiting, you know.
You don't have to drag me.
Okay, all clear. Get moving.
Rich. Hey, Rich.
What?
Come here a minute, will you?
What now, stud?
Is my tie straight, Rich?
Oh, you and your ties. I'll straighten your tie for you.
Okay, so I'll use the mirror. Hey, that was a nice piece of business last night, Rich.
Well, I'm glad you're happy.
Now, I'm counting on plenty of jobs like that, Rich. Stud's got to be kept in more of these fancy ties.
Well, you'll have enough to hire a valet.
Uh-oh.
You expecting anyone?
In the morning?
Grab a gun and get behind the door.
Okay.
Okay, just a minute. Yeah, who is it?
Francie. Open up, will you?
Francie.
Oh, all right. Now, look, Francie.
Look yourself.
Hello, Francie. You're up early.
Do you want to make something of it, Drape Shape?
What's eating you?
What's eating me? I'll tell you what's eating me. I open up the paper this morning, and what do you think is staring me in the face?
What?
That movie house was held up last night, as if you didn't know.
All right, so what?
Oh, wait here a minute, Francie. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Took me there under false pretenses, that's what you did.
Would you felt any better if you knew we were going to do the
that's
job?
That's beside the point. I got better things to do than play decoy for a couple of hunters.
Name one thing better.
Listen, wolf in wolf's clothing, I didn't come here
to you. Get it down to a convulsion, will you? These walls talk back.
You can heist all the joints you want, and you can spend all the dough on me. But if I'm part of any job, knownst or unbeknownst, I want what I got coming.
I'll give you what you got coming.
Stud.
By yourself.
Let me see if I get you straight, Francie. You want to go to work?
Look, Pappy, I gotta pay my rent the same as anybody else.
Not with my money, you don't.
If you don't like it, Beau Crummel, pick up your pork pie and take a walk. I'm in.
Well, not yet, Francie. I have to work out an angle.
Oh, that's easy. There's always an angle.
Well, you just angled me right out of the picture.
Take it easy, stud. I got an idea this is gonna be good for all of us.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Lewis.
Yeah, sure, sir.
Sergeant Walsh.
Lieutenant Niehaus, Sergeant. You still got the theater treasurer with you?
Yes, sir. He's looking the pictures over, trying to pick out those two bandits.
All right, Sergeant. I'll be right in.
Okay, Lieutenant. Well, Mr. Lewis, this will be the last batch you'll have to look through today.
Oh, that's good, Sergeant. I have to be at work at 1. I can come back tomorrow if you want.
Well, we'll see. Just go through those pictures. Take a good look at each one of them, both profile and front view.
Uh-huh.
If any of those men look familiar, just let me know.
I sure will.
And just take your time, huh?
Okay. Well, it's not this one.
Yeah, let's all... Oh, come in, Lieutenant.
How's it going, Sergeant?
Not too well. Mr. Lewis, Lieutenant Niehaus.
Mr. Lewis?
Hello, Lieutenant.
You go right ahead, Mr. Lewis.
Yeah, sure. If I recognize any of them, I'll holler.
You're fine.
Looks like a new bunch, huh, Sergeant?
Well, he's been through the entire modus operandi file. He can't make anybody we've ever handled for robbery.
What's he looking at now?
Oh, mugs that have been... Yeah. Did you hit one, Mr. Lewis?
Well, I thought I did. No, this ain't him, I'm sure.
Okay, keep looking.
Yeah, I will.
Yes, Lieutenant, I think we're in for a siege from these boys.
Well, let's keep at it, Sergeant. They're new at the game. At least they're up against a couple of old-timers. They've got them on that anyway.
But what
What's the matter with going to the Pines, Rich? At least they got some music there you can dance to.
I told you Stubbs going to meet us here.
And I can't think of a better reason for leaving.
Listen, Francie, get the chip off your shoulder. We're not going to be any good unless we're a team. Remember that.
Rah, 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 team, team, team.
You want something else to drink?
Well, as long as I've got a choice, I think... party spoiled.
Hello, Rich. Everything's set.
Sit down, Stan.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm fine. How are you?
Suddenly sick.
Come on, come on. What did Bailey have to say?
Well, he didn't exactly go for it like Romeo went for Juliet.
That's a nice tie you got on, Stud. Is it new?
It's pure silk. You sport it this afternoon. It's class, huh?
It was a little long, or you could hang yourself with
it. Why, you don't...
Okay, cut it out. What did Bailey say?
Well, Rich, he said he never looked at it that way. He didn't think chain grocery stores would be the ticket. And he got suspicious.
But you told him there'd be lots of dough in those safes.
Yeah, but a guy's always suspicious when he gets something for nothing. For you to case 15 to 20 of those stores, a big job, Rich. Especially for free. He wants to know what you're going to get out of it.
You told him?
Yeah, I told him. I laid it on the line. I told him that after he knocks over so many chain store safes, they'll stop keeping the dough in the safes. And that's when you start your end.
And he went for it.
But he was still a little suspicious, Rich. I had to promise him something.
What?
I had to promise him that when he broke into those stores, I'd go along.
Just for the ride, huh?
Well, if I'm going to do the work, I take my split. You know how it is, Rich.
Sure. I know how it is.
And it's okay?
You got to take your pick, Stud. Either Bailey's end or mine.
I'll take his end. You're just playing a hunch. Maybe they'll take it out of the safe. Maybe they won't.
Okay, Stud, I guess you know best.
Thanks, Rich. I knew you wouldn't kick.
You can do what you like. Only don't come running to me when I get started.
I'll be satisfied. Well, I think I'll go call Bailey and say that you put the okay on it, huh?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll be right back. Order me a drink.
Yeah, strychnine and soda. How do you like that guy? What do you have to be so nice about it for? He just walked out on the team. Rah, 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 team.
That's all right, Francie. He leaves everything for you and me. Now, tomorrow, you gotta start shopping for groceries, baby. In chain stores. Waiter. Waiter, over here.
So Don, the criminal Rich, engineered a queer plan to set other criminals off on a series of chain grocery store safe burglaries in St. Louis. Now, if you're puzzled how he could profit from burglaries committed by other criminals, you'll see shortly that he had quite an ingenious plan. But he didn't realize that detectives also live by ingenuity.
You were telling us, Chief Murphy, that the young criminal Rich convinced another gang that they could profitably burglarize the safes of chain grocery stores in St. Louis. And he even went so far as to have his girl, Francie, case the stores for them.
That's right, Don. And soon police reports began to show a plague of these safe burglaries. A chain grocery store was broken into and its safe cracked nearly every night. St. Louis detectives were doing all they could to catch the criminals, but decided, as Rich hoped they would, that precautionary measures were also necessary. Lieutenant Niehaus and Sergeant Walsh were discussing the situation at police headquarters.
3 o'clock, be all right with you, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Got them all lined up, have you?
Yes, sir. All the district managers, A&P stores, Kroger's, Piggly Wiggly, and one or two others. But, Lieutenant, do you really think they'll go for it?
I don't see why not. Yeah. They want to stop these burglaries. The best way to do it, next to catching the thieves, is not to leave anything for them to take if they do break in.
Yeah, but some of these stores take in $3,000 or $4,000 a day, Lieutenant. No matter what kind of trouble we've been having, it's still a sight easier to break into a manager's home than a store safe.
Yes, it is. But the burglars won't know the store managers are carrying the money home with them. They won't know where it went. So no publicity on this move. No publicity at all.
Oh, pardon me.
Yes, madam?
You're the manager, aren't you?
Yes. Can I help you?
I'd like to get a check cashed, if I may.
Oh, I'm sorry, madam. Company rules, we're not allowed to cash checks.
But I left home without any money. Well, I guess I'll have to go back.
Well, if you'd like, you can do your marketing now, and we'll hold the packages for you.
No, I think I'll run on home, but Well, it seems sort of silly rule not to cash customers' checks. If you cashed checks, you wouldn't have lost so much money in that robbery you had the other night.
Maybe you're right, but there won't be any more money lost in burglaries.
They haven't caught the criminals.
No, not yet. If they try it again, they'll find an empty safe. As a matter of fact, if they try it in any of our stores, they'll find the safe empty.
Really? Well, thanks just the same.
Hello?
Rich?
Yeah, Francie, how'd it go?
The stores have stopped keeping their receipts around at night.
Uh-huh. Then the managers must be taking it away with them. Check a few more places around closing time.
Okay, General.
And if that's the way it is, I'll go to work.
Hey, just a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. The store's closed tonight.
Well, in that case, give me the dough.
Oh, what do you mean?
Come on, buddy. I'm the collector. Get him up.
Hey.
Get him up.
Please, don't shoot.
I'll take that package. Give it to her, I said.
No, you can't.
No. Thanks, buddy.
Well, I just put out an alarm on that last one, Lieutenant.
Good.
Lieutenant, I wish we could provide an armed guard for every chain store manager in the city.
Where are we going to get the man?
I don't know.
You know, Sergeant, I can't help feeling that these robberies and safe burglaries are tied up in some way. It's just too neat to be a coincidence.
Maybe, but safe burglars and stick-up men just don't run together, Lieutenant.
Hmm. And what about the stolen goods angle?
Not much yet. Those burglars must know that cigarettes are just about as hard to trace as money. Guess that's why they went to the trouble to take them along.
These cigarettes are harder to conceal.
Well, we're keeping our eye on receivers of such merchandise.
Okay. I only hope it comes through before every store in town is touched.
Hey, you know what's in here, Rich? Spaghetti.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Imagine, the stuff is hard when you buy it.
Yeah.
Just goes to show if your nose around enough, you'll learn plenty.
Yeah, well, there must be something to eat around here that's quick to fix.
Oh, take your pick. I got two closets full of groceries. Ready to go in business myself. Apple juice, tomato juice, sauerkraut juice, grapefruit juice, anything. Oh, there's chow mein. Hey, imagine, chow mein in cans.
Who's that?
Not somebody with more groceries, I hope.
Go out and take a look.
Oh, sure. Okay, I'm coming. Yeah? Who is it?
Come on, Francie, open up.
Oh, I knew it was too good to last.
Hello, Francie.
Come in, come in.
Is Rich around?
Hey, Rich, come on out. You got lots of company. Hart, Schaffner, and Marks.
Hello, Rich.
Well, Stud, where'd you spring from?
I hear you're doing all right, Rich.
Well, I hear you're doing all right.
We were until they didn't leave the dough in the safes anymore. It worked out like you figured.
I'll bet you're happy, too.
Look, Rich, have you got a spot for me?
A spot?
You should have stayed with me all the while, Stud. You've been rolling in clover now.
I guess I would have, but I'm flat.
Flat? You guys must have taken plenty out of those safes.
Yeah, but there were four of us. It was all right.
Well, what happened to the dough?
You know, a few clothes.
Only a few? Hmm.
And I dropped a bundle across the river.
Haven't you got sense enough to stay out of a crap game?
Oh, yeah, now yes.
How about it, Rich? You take me back in?
If you do, Rich, I
Francie,
swear
haven't you got anything left?
No dough.
What then?
Well, I got two cases of cigarettes we took out of one joint. What do you say, Rich?
Nothing to them.
But, Rich, you...
You had your chance to think and you didn't. What do you want, charity?
Okay. That's the way you feel about it.
Get rid of those cigarettes. They ought to bring you 100 or so.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to.
But be careful where you sell them.
Don't worry. Well, thanks just the same.
Put some of your suits in, Hawk. They ought to keep you for a month.
I did already. Well, so long.
Take it easy.
There goes my pal. He's a bum. A bum with shoulder pads.
Yeah. Maybe I should have taken him back.
Are you losing your mind?
Whenever he gets picked up for anything, he'll holler from here to St. Joe.
Ah, who's gonna pick him up?
Nobody, I guess. But only I hope he's careful about getting rid of those cigarettes. They involve too many people.
Okay.
Hello, Lucius.
Huh? Oh, Stud. Hello, Stud. Just a minute. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 108.
What are you doing? Figuring out your income tax?
Inventory, my boy, just inventory. It's on your mind, Stud. Busy today, very busy.
Look, Lucius.
What is it?
I'm a little short of cash.
Well, I'm not so long on it myself, my boy, not long at all.
I wasn't asking for a loan.
It's a good thing, but you wouldn't get it.
Could you use some cigarettes?
Stud, you know I don't smoke. Quit years ago.
Come on, Lucius, cigarettes.
How many you got? How many?
2 cases. Old Golds, both of them.
There's not much of a market for cigarettes these days, Stud. Not much.
When you're buying something, there's never much of a market, is there, Lucius?
Well, it's the risk, Stud. It's the risk. Where'd you get them?
I got them. Isn't that enough?
$40 for the 2 cases. $40.
There's 100 cartons there.
$40, Stud.
You're a thief, Lucius.
Maybe I am. $40.
Okay.
Where you got these cigarettes? Where?
They're out in the car.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's get them.
You got the 40?
That I'm surprised at you. Come on.
Yeah.
Where's Rich these days? I haven't heard from him in quite a time.
Oh, he's a big shot now, Lucius. He don't deal in nothing but cash now.
It's too bad. Which is the car?
It's the convertible there.
Nice. Where'd you get it?
I borrowed.
Well, come on. The cigarettes.
They're in the trunk. $40 ain't much money, Lucius.
More than you got.
You get the point. There they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get them inside.
Come on, the $40, Lucius.
Oh, yes, the $40. Well, tens do.
Anything.
10, 20, 30, 40.
Thanks.
Inside with them. You take the other.
Okay.
Come on.
Wait till I shut the trunk. $40.
Well, the market is bad, Stud. Very bad.
All right, you two. That's far enough.
Cops.
Drop those cartons.
Please.
Drop them.
See here, officer. I'm a legitimate businessman. Legitimate.
Your record says different. You... Where'd you get those cigarettes?
What do you think? They fell off some truck.
I see here, Captain.
Not a captain, and you're under arrest receiving stolen property.
Stolen property?
Those cigarettes were taken in a burglary.
Ridiculous.
What burglary? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about any burglaries.
We'll see how much you know about burglaries and also a few robberies. Come on, both of you.
See here.
I said come on, and I mean it.
Honest, Rich, I just can't sit here and listen to you cry in your beer all night.
I'm telling you, Francie, I made a mistake turning Stud out. I should have taken him back. I've got a feeling.
I've got a feeling, too. I've got a feeling it ain't Christmas. If you took him back in, it's exactly what it would have to be, Christmas.
Francie.
What?
We're getting out of town.
For crying out loud, why and where?
Who cares? Any place. Get back tonight. We're leaving in the morning.
Okay, Admiral, you got a passenger.
Then come on, let's get out of here.
Well, not so fast. Let me finish my drink.
All right, but make it snappy.
Yes?
Sergeant Walsh, Lieutenant. I just put this Stud character back in the holdover.
Did you get what you wanted?
Everything. He sang like a soprano at the Met. We'll want to make simultaneous pickups tonight. I'll need a few squads.
All right, Sergeant, take anybody you want.
Do you want to come along, Lieutenant?
Yeah, if you're short-handed.
Well, it's not exactly that, Lieutenant. There's one of these birds I want to color myself. A guy named Rich. He's the one that had this brainstorm, and I figured you'd like to be in on it, too.
By all means, Sergeant. I want to be among the first to meet this Rich.
Okay, hold it here, Stud.
Yeah.
Now, which door is it?
It's that one there, the second one.
Myers, Klein.
Right.
On past the room.
Yes, sir.
Kelling, Kraft.
Yes, sir.
Stick at the head of the stairs.
Okay.
You set, Lieutenant?
Let's go.
Go on, Stud. I said go on.
Okay, you don't have to shove me.
Now you stop at the room, knock on the door, and say it's you.
Now, look, I gave you guys...
You'll do like you're told. Who it is, you'll answer them and then get back out of the way.
sure they're in, Sergeant?
I hope so. Knock again.
Yeah, who is it?
Go ahead. Answer.
Who is it?
It's me, Stud.
Oh, it's Stud. Okay, just a second.
Get back there, Stud.
Stud, honest.
Police officer.
Well,
there he is.
Hey.
Don't move, no. Rigby. You don't take.
Watch him. There's a gun on the dresser.
Right.
Ow.
You got it. Go.
That'll hold him. Now, there's no sense in crying about him, sister. The two of you will be separated for a long time. For good, I guess.
So, Don, that was how the young bandit with an idea learned the police also have ideas. Rich and all his accomplices were taken in custody. Subsequently, he was sentenced to a term of 12 years in the Missouri State Penitentiary.
Well, thank you, Chief Murphy, for this absorbing case history.
And gangbusters, congratulations to all the law enforcement officers who participated in the investigation leading to the conclusion of this case. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Ken Lynch and Charlotte Lawrence in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
From sometime in the 1940s, there's Gangbusters with The Collector Who Robbed Supermarkets. In a moment, Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts with special guest star Lenny Bruce as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Radio, remember radio.
If you have a favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Arthur Godfrey Time was first heard on CBS in April of 1945, but it was clear back in 1929 when his real career began, as he was listening to Saturday Night Function, an amateur program on station WFBR. One night, Godfrey and some friends decided to storm the station and thrust their talent upon an unsuspecting world. WFBR first offered Godfrey $5 per program. In 1930, he was added to the NBC staff as an announcer. By late 33, radio station WTOP of CBS fame in Washington hired him over, and by April of 41, his program was being carried both in Washington, D.C. and in New York on WCBS. His success on the air still remains an enigma to this day. He couldn't sing, couldn't dance or act, wasn't even the cleverest ad-libber on the air. The charm, though, of Godfrey seemed to be from its spontaneity. It was once estimated by CBS that the redheaded star was heard by more than 40 million listeners per week. One night in October of 1953, in a controversial on-the-air dismissal of Julius LaRosa, the subsequent firing of bandleader Archie Blyer, the career of Godfrey began to unravel. His popularity thereafter dipped sharply. Godfrey continued on the network show until he took it off the air himself, broadcasting an emotional farewell in April of 1972, exactly 27 years to the day after his CBS program began. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts, with special guest star Lenny Bruce from April of 1949. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Arthur Godfrey and his Talent Scouts.
Here comes Arthur Godfrey, your Talent Scout MC. You know it's Arthur Godfrey when you hear them play.
George Bryan, everybody. This is Arthur Godfrey. Isn't this a cute hat, huh? Somebody sent me a little fireman's hat, fire chief, with little tea bags hung all around it here. So in case the hose plays on me, it shouldn't be a total loss. I'll have some tea. I wish you folks out on the radio could see that. It's really something to see. Can I give it to you, young fella? You look awful pretty with that. You take it. That up, boy. Put it on. Let me see how it looks on you. Oh, that's pretty. That's pretty. Okay. Isn't this pew weather we're having, huh? And continued pew, too. And the baseball season is in New York is supposed to open tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah, tomorrow. Boy, can you imagine what those fields will look like, huh? See a guy will lay down a bunt and slide to third base with the thing. You know, I hope that Joe DiMaggio will be able to play this year. Doggone, that's a shame. I guess every sports fan in the country is lined up man to man, hoping for his heel to heel, huh? I'm quite a baseball fan myself. You know, I see every game. Sometimes I get so doggone excited, I almost knock over my television set. It isn't generally known, you know, but I used to be quite a player in my youth. I was quite a pitcher, as a matter of fact. They used to say that I throw the ball better than anybody. Only thing is, they spelled ball with a U. Well, anyhow, I thought you'd like that one. Let's see. It's Lipton Soup and Tea Time. For our talent scout, the first one is Al Chargill. Is that Al? Do I pronounce that right?
Chargill.
Chargill. Al Chargill, huh? What do you do for a living, Al?
Drive a truck.
Drive a truck? Oh, what kind of truck?
Oh, big.
Big?
Straight job.
Straight job.
Mm-hmm.
What do you haul in a truck?
General trucking, mostly printed matter.
Oh, I see. Is it your own truck? Or do you
no,
work?
I work for my uncle.
Oh, for your uncle, huh? Uh-huh. What's the name of his company? Let's give him a plug.
S&F.
S&F, S&F, huh? S&F, okay, we'll go on to that. Enough about the trucking business. Do you always want to drive a truck? Is that your ambition?
No. I'd like to be a millionaire, but I think I'll settle for commercial art.
Commercial art? Mm-hmm. Hey, a good commercial artist could be a millionaire.
Well, that's why I'm taking it up.
Are you studying?
Well, I intend to going to school in September.
Can you draw it all now?
I can make a straight line.
Better than I can do. Did you bring us any talent?
Yes, I did.
Who?
Well, on one of my trips out of New York, I stopped off at the Wayside Club in West Springfield, Mass.
Mm-hmm. Boss know about that? Oh, okay.
Listen.
I won't tell him. And what did you find there?
I found a great little group singing and playing there.
What's the name of the group?
The name of the group was the Eddie Smith Trio.
Eddie Smith Trio. And you brought them here tonight?
Yes, I did.
Do you know where else they've entertained? What's their background?
Well, I know they played at Doc's Cocktail Lounge in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, I don't know the other places.
They ever been on radio that you know of?
Well, I guess they have.
I mean, as a trio.
Yeah.
Have they?
Mm-hmm.
Never a national network, though.
No, not that I know.
Well, we're going to give them a big break right now. Thanks to you, Al. Let's get them on here right now. The Eddie Smith Trio. They've got a guitar, a violin, a bass violin, rather. A piano, and what do you call that thing you got on the piano?
Well, that's just a small piano. That's a baby.
Give me that again. What do you call it?
That's a baby piano.
Oh, a baby piano.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, let's hear what you do with it now. The Eddie Smith Trio.
When the band begins to play, if you listen, you will hear the toy piano polka, the polka of the year. Piano as it tinkles out of tune, you can rest.
with that, you'll do the polka soon. You can have the Pennsylvania, you can have the clarinet, you can have the two fat polka we would rather hear instead.
Polka too, boys. I got tired of it myself. It's a wonderful beverage. That's the Philadelphia influence. I was down there last week. It's what they call those things down there, beverages. That's so the police won't know what they're talking about on Sunday, you know? Let's meet the next talent scout. Rita Connolly, huh? Rita Connolly. Hello there.
Come and sit with me.
Hey, that's a very, very nice Easter outfit you got there. It is an Easter outfit, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Is it Mrs. Connolly or Miss?
It's Mrs.
It would be, sure. How long have you been married?
16 months.
Got any little Connollys?
I surely have.
How many?
One.
One. And how old is this one?
5 months.
And what is it, a boy?
It's a boy.
A boy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you be just as proud if it had been a girl?
Oh, surely, but it's a boy.
Tell me, what did you do before you got married?
Well, I sang in Detroit, and I modeled with the Ernest Kern Company.
You were modeling?
Mm-hmm.
What made you quit modeling?
Well, I got tired of changing costumes so many times during the day.
You gotta admit that was good training for being a mother. Tell me, Mrs. Connolly, whom did you bring for us today?
Well, I brought my husband, John Connolly.
What does he do?
Well, he's a singer. He was in the Army, but he never sang professionally before that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting. Tell me the story about it.
Well, he was in special service and sang at an Army show called Foxhole Folly. And when he got out, he decided to make music his career. So he sung on a local radio station in the South and appeared at the Westwood Supper Club in Richmond, Virginia.
What's he going to do for us tonight?
Well, he's going to sing Because.
Because. Guy Dardlow's Because. Okay, thanks very much, Mrs. Connolly. Let's have your hubby out here. John Connolly.
Because you come to me with naught save love, and hold my hand and lift mine eyes above, a wider world of hope and joy I see. Because you speak to me in accents sweet. I find the roses waking round my feet, and I am led through tears and joy to thee, because you speak to me.
I got a cute thing in the mail here I gotta show you. Where the heck is it? Here it is, here. This thing came in the mail. I get the darnest things in the mail. This is from Baltimore, Maryland. I wish you folks, all of you, had television so you could see this. I'm gonna have to describe it to those of you who don't. But you've all seen the Lipton tea package with the picture of Sir Thomas on it, you know? Sir Thomas Lipton with his little white mustache and his yachting cap. Well, Lou Sachs in Baltimore, Maryland, sends me this letter with this picture, which I'll show you in a minute. It says, a husband and wife living together for some time eventually get to look like each other. So after you're advertising Lipton tea for some time, you seem to resemble Lipton more every day. All you need is the get-up that I'm sending you. A mustache and a goatee, and there you are. Your mustache can serve as a strainer for your Lipton noodle soup. Put the camera on this, will you? Can you see that? That is the most amazing thing. I don't know what you're applauding for. That doesn't look any more like Sir Thomas than Archie does. I look like a sergeant in the late Kaiser's army, and that's they've taken one of my pictures and put a big white mustache and a goatee on it and a yachting cap. Oh, it's charming. Here, you can have this one. It's isn't that pretty? Oh, we get some of the cutest things here. Oh, wait, you haven't seen anything yet. The Rockaway Playland sent me something. Wheel that thing out here, will you? Bring it out here. You've got to see. The audience in the studio can see it, and the television audience can see it. It's an erector set. Not an erector set. What do they call it? Constructioneer. Pardon me, it's a competitor of erector, I guess. They've built a Ferris wheel, a merry-go-round, and a, what do you call that thing? A swing-around or something. And they got it hooked up. I'm going to start it with. Each one of the little characters on it is a little tea bag hanging on the horses in the merry-go-round and on the Ferris wheel and on the carousel. Isn't that cute? It's just as cute as it can be. It's Rockaway's Playland. Rockaway's Playland. It's a little plug for Rockaway's Playland. Where is Rockaway's Playland? On Coney Island? No, where is it? Come and get it,
boys. Don't let it sit there and cook. Now, we have another talent scout here, and how do you do?
Why, how
it's
do you do?
Good to see you. What's your name, Mrs. Bruce?
Mrs. Bruce.
Mrs. Sally Bruce.
That's right.
Tell me who you brought with you tonight. Where do you come from?
Freeport.
Freeport, huh? Who'd you bring with you, Mrs. Bruce?
My I have
to
son.
Get right on. Your son. What's your son do?
He's a comedian.
A comedian. What's his name?
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce. What's his professional background?
His professional background, well, when he came out of the Navy, he worked a lot of theaters and nightclubs throughout the coast. And more recently, he was at the Crossroads nightclub in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. What kind of comedy does he do?
Oh, impersonations, mimicry.
Oh, wonderful. And what's his name?
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce. Let's bring him on. Thank you, Mrs. Bruce.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see that television is coming in so strong in vaudeville. You know, the action I get the biggest kick out of are the impersonators. I love the when they come out and say, all right, George, I want you to stay up the north side, you stay up the south side, you stay up the west side, you stay up the north side, and you stay up the east side. I'm glad there's no more sides. Or they go, please, get out of here. I hate you. And besides that, I don't like you. Then the feminine characters.
Riley. Riley, mother. Oh, kiss me, Gregory. Kiss me, Gregory. Oh, Gregory, how you can peck.
But you know, I don't know if you people realize it or not, but we're not the only country that have impersonators. While I was in the Navy, I spent about 2.5 years overseas. And some of that time was spent in Bavaria. In the evenings, we didn't have anything to do. It was a little Bavarian vaudeville house. And the act that I got the biggest kick out of was the Bavarian mimic. This is proud me to stop the music. Just got back from Hollywood, California. Made spay pictures. Von der Spay and Von der Spay. Das ist die Frau mit dem fliegenden Fäusenpoisonation. Das ist die Frau mit dem Gangster mit dem Hauben Cagney. All right, Jocko. Das ist die Frau mit dem Fragen. Du die Frage. Das ist die Frau mit dem Fragen. Das ist die Frau mit dem Schrieger. Das ist die Frage mit Lippenstee. Das ist der Flieger mit Monsterman, mit alles Hollywooden. This is the man mit dem Peter Lorre. Please, das ist Frage mein Schwiegenshaugen. Das ist die Kriege mit dem Haugen, der Mann mit dem Haugen des Schwiegen. Nein, das ist der Frage mit den Pyramids. Das ist der Flieger mit Feminine, mit alles Hollywooden. Das ist der Kluge mit dem Betty Davis. Fit up, Frage, let up. Das ist Frauge. Frauge, Frauge, Frauge. Puh, you're laughing. Das ist Frauge morgen, a fat lip. Das ist der Kluge mit Old Man mit alles Hollywood. This is the man mit dem Kluge mit alles in Frauen Barry Fitzgerald.
Das ist Kluge mit Frauen, mit Frauen des Schwogen, mit Frauen des Schwogen. Ist es Frauen, as long as he's Frauen, der Flieger.
Now, das ist der Mann mit Badmann, mit Dallas Hollywooden. Das ist der Flieger mit dem Schmiggi, Schmiggi, Schmiggi. Das ist der Mann mit dem Frauger. Mitten home from Bogart. All right, Rege, grab the Schmege.
Das ist bringen mit singen und bouncing Frankie Lane. Eins, zwei, drei, vier, Schwein. Das Rege, grab the Schmege. Das Flügen, Maus und Bang, das ist die Flüge.
That's Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce. Let's get our next talent scout up here, Mrs. Dudley Full. Hello, Ms. Full.
How are you tonight?
Very nice.
Are you comfortable in there, huh?
I sure am.
Over here where you can get right in it.
Ready.
Tell me, what do you do besides being Mr. Full's wife?
Well, I work in my husband's business.
Oh, what's his business?
Well, he's a manufacturer of rubber-covered baseballs and softballs.
Rubber-covered baseballs?
Yes, sir.
This I never heard of before.
Well, it's something very different. You can play with a ball in all kinds of weather, and it outlasts a leather-covered ball by many, many innings.
Is that so? Yes, do they use them in the National Leagues, in American Leagues?
Well, some of the major leagues are using them, and all of the minor leagues, and schools and colleges all over the country.
Is that so?
Yes, sir.
Well, what does your husband do besides make these rubber-covered balls?
Well, he has a baseball pitching machine.
A baseball pitching machine? Oh,
yes. My.
That's for me. You mean it just keeps throwing them right in the same
that's
place?
That's right.
So a man can practice batting?
Uh-huh,
hey,
that's
all right. That's okay. Did you bring some talent?
Yes, I brought my very good friend, Margarita Tawney.
Where's she come from?
Well, she's from Fresno, California.
Fresno?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How'd she get all the way here?
Well, as you know, CBS has been running a talent audition in the West Coast, and Margarita Tawney is a singer, and she won first prize about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Therefore, she wins an appearance here on this show, huh?
That's
okay,
right.
Let's bring her out here. Thank you very much, Mrs. Poole. The talent is Margarita Tawney.
Vidi un mare quanto è bello, tira tanto sentimenti, come tu che tieni mente, cosce tanto fai suonare, tutto tu giardino. Queste sciure arance non profumo al così fino in cuore se ne va e tu dici quanti addio.
Choose a winner here for us tonight. Our first artists were the Eddie Smith Trio, if you remember. Eddie Smith Trio. Thank you. Then there was the vocalist, John Connolly.
Because you come to me with not saying.
Thank you. Then the comedian, Lenny Bruce.
Du Frau, Mies, du Frau, das ist der.
And the soprano, Marguerite Tawney.
Vidio mare quante bello, spira
tanto. All right, thank you. You know what you did, don't you? You gave me
two of them, Lenny Bruce and John Connolly. Therefore, come on over here, fellas. Let me congratulate you. Lenny?
Thanks very much.
You flugel, you, that's what I'm John, I tell you what, you both come on, show up with me now in the morning show beginning tomorrow, huh? And then we'll settle the whole deal there. That's the way it starts. God bless you. It's just a beginning, but it's a start.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. Tune in again next week to Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts. Same time, same station.
From April 18th of 1949, it's been Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts with special guest star Lenny Bruce. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes. Our imagination, the comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you, sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.